Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 249, recorded on Sunday, January 19th, 2020. I am joined tonight by Tim. Tim, how are you?
I'm excited that we're almost at episode 250. What's that episode going to be about, Lou?
I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe just random stuff we find on the internet?
Oh, you mean like this episode?
Maybe, yeah. Well, you know, probably the 250th time, or maybe the third time we hit 250. I don't know. We've renumbered a couple times in this series. This is the most recent iteration of hitting 250, I guess. I'm not sure we've been here before. We've been close or right around there. I thought we went as high as maybe 300 once. I don't know, but
we should label them as volumes.
Yeah, but
like this being like volume 3 of Random Chatter, episode 249.
Right, but we don't know how many volumes there's been. I mean, Eric might be able to find that out for us. He's probably got all the stuff stored somewhere, but
how about Echo Base? Is that the same run or
I think that's the same run. I think we haven't done any numbering with that. I think we picked up when we were movie chatter picked up when we were before too, so that's kind of in line. But Random Chatter is stopped and started and hiatus and restarted, and I don't know why we renumbered them, but I think Jay and I got to 200 or 199 and it never got to 200. I think when Jay and I were doing it for a while.
But I think the next show that I start, whatever that's going to be, I'm just going to start with some random number like 309.
They start with like 7.
No. We're going to start big. Then that's going to make people think, oh my gosh, these guys have been around forever. We'll get the best interviews.
There you go. You know, I don't know if he's still doing it, but Andy Inako used to do the Inako file. Inako's Almanac. And when he first started, it was, you know, episode 0001.
Oh, gosh.
Or 0001. So he's like, yeah, I'm really ambitious. That was kind of funny. Well, let's see. We have some new stuff to offer in our store.
Yes, we do.
So we're now selling T-shirts and merchandise for the Tight Beam. Mm-hmm. That is our Expanse podcast, which is back on, well, I shouldn't say back on. It is now on Amazon streaming.
Yes.
So season 4 is there. I have not started watching season 4 yet. I've got too many other things to catch up on, but I love the show. I'm an avid watcher of that. I just want to get caught up on. I just started the last episode of Lost in Space for season 2, and I have some other stuff to catch up on. So
I will. Yeah, I got to do Lost in Space still. I haven't gotten to that.
You saw season 1, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Season 2 is good. But we'll get to that in a few minutes when we get to our what we've been watching. Trailer Breakdown is back. We're starting to do those. We did a show for that yesterday morning. Actually, we recorded that. And there's a lot of good trailers coming up, so we'll be doing those weekly now and getting those out to you guys.
Yeah.
And Dispatch from the Front is also back. Tim, you and Tom covered 1917.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't expect to. We originally planned on doing Beneath Hill 60, which is also a World War One movie. But we took like a 3-month hiatus between the two of us, work, travel, reserve duty, children, holidays, you name it, the two of us were kind of confronted with it. I mean, folks know I was barely able to make a couple of Random Chatter and Echo Base recordings through that period of time, and Tom was similarly busy. So we decided to come back, and we talked about it last week, and we said, well, hey, why don't we do 1917, because it is like so immediately relevant, because it's obviously a lot of awards buzz, and it is it's out there right now, and a lot of people are talking about it. So
cool.
He saw it last weekend. I saw it a couple nights ago, and so we covered it in our most recent episode, which I'll have the post production done on sometime next couple days.
Awesome. Let's see, if you want to get a hold of us, the best way to reach us is email, of course, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. You can find us on all the social medias. We are Random Chatter on Twitter. I am Lou Skywalker, that's Skywalker without the E. Tim, where are you on Twitter?
At Qui-Gon Tim, that is Tim with 2 M's.
Awesome, and we have a Random Chatter Instagram site as well, just Random Chatter. And I am on there, just my name, Lou Secchi, and I have a 6-inch hero toy. Toy stream I do up there. And Tim, you are now on Instagram out there.
Well, I've been on Instagram for a long time. I just haven't really you know, Instagram is a weird thing for me because it's kind of an amalgamation of everything. It's I do just random life stuff on there. I do a little bit of work stuff on there occasionally, and I do some pop culture stuff, but you know, not as much.
You could make a work account for them and have a work feed that you put stuff onto, and your personal stuff.
I do actually.
And, I have several of those too. I have a work account and I have my personal account. And,
Yeah. I do have one that I set up for the company, which I use. Anyhow, so the Instagram that I have is some call me Tim 1138.
Where'd you get that 1138 from?
I don't know.
Huh, okay.
Just, you know, random string of numbers that I put together.
And Lizzie is also.
I saw it on the back of a battle droid once.
Okay.
That was cool.
There you go. Yeah. Lizzie is also on Instagram and Twitter. She's most active on Twitter, Instagram. Sorry. Do you have her stuff handy there, Tim?
Her Twitter account is TWT about Lizzie, and her Instagram is the wonderful thing about Lizzie.
There you go. Perfect. We do have a Discord server for everybody out there listening to us. We do have some free channels as well as some stuff that we offer to our Patreon supporters. So we do have channels for all the shows out there. If you want to get on there, we talk about, you know, what we do in the shows. But if you want to get the real interesting stuff, if you donate at least $1 a month to us or more in Patreon, we have all kinds of channels for spoilers on movies and TV shows and discussing episodes here and there. We've actually calmed down a little bit on the whole Mandalorian thing. That was a pretty hot and heavy topic for a while there towards the end of the Mandalorian. Primarily because I was egging people on, but it's okay. 30,000 years, Tim. That's all I got to say, 30,000 years. But you can join us on there. All kinds of stuff to talk about over there, which is fantastic. All of our supporters as well as the hosts. And, of course, we have our store, randomchatter.com/store. Go through TeePublic. You can find T-shirts and stickers and hoodies for all of your favorite shows over there. So go over there and show some love and wear out your random chatter or type beam or you name the show t-shirts and sweatshirts.
Yeah. We're getting more and more put up there. We just had movie chatter put up last week.
Oh, that's and, up now. Good.
Yeah. So we're getting more and more up there. We're trying to continue to develop the store and bring good things to people.
Awesome. So before we get into this week's show, what have you been up to watching wise?
Well, as I mentioned, I got out to see 1917, and I'll say it here. Perhaps a controversial opinion. I don't get me wrong. I liked the movie. I thought it was a very good movie. The production quality was incredible. I loved the camera work on the movie. The story was good, but I don't know that it's worth the hype that has been out there for it. I still think everyone should go out and see it. If you like war movies and you're interested in that, absolutely go out and see it. It is a great movie, but I just don't think it's worth the awards hype. Okay. We're actually going to talk about award stuff later on. And, you know, 1917 is listed all over the place.
It's funny because they've been promoting this movie since what, beginning of December? It had a limited release, right before Christmas?
Yes, so they could hit officially award season, so they could qualify for it. And then they did the wide release early this month. And, perfectly good movie. I do have some issues with it, but those actually, Tom and I cover those in over in Dispatches from the Front.
Okay.
Saw Baby Driver finally, which was absolutely fantastic.
Really?
Yes, that was a great. Oh my gosh, the whole plot line to that movie, the story of it is absolutely fantastic. For anyone who's not familiar, the premise of it is that there is a guy that orchestrates heists, and he puts together different teams for every heist, but he always has the same driver, and the driver is this young guy, like early 20s, and his nickname is Baby. Because he's the youngest person all the time.
Okay.
And he has certain mannerisms, which they explore in the movie itself. And so thus the title of the movie, Baby Driver. And it's really quite good. It has a great pace to it. Has a really good cast. It does have Kevin Spacey in it, which I know, you know, obviously is now a controversial figure, but in my opinion, just in terms of his body of work, great actor, does well in this. And so, yeah, great movie. Really, really good movie. I was highly entertained.
You know, for some reason that never really caught me. The trailers never made me want to see it. I don't know.
They didn't for me either. And so I was like, it was on TV at some point and I didn't even watch it live. I decided to DVR it. And so then, you know, we ended up watching it just a few days ago, which was probably 3 weeks after I DVR'd it. And the only reason I did was because of all the hype that it got. And yeah, I agree. The trailers for, I think, were really subpar, but everyone was talking the movie up. So I figured, you know, I'll give it a shot. Okay. And I was thoroughly impressed, That movie was not marketed to what it actually is, at least from my recollection of the trailers. Okay. Yeah. And I may actually even go back to look at the trailers to say, what the heck was wrong here? What were they missing?
Yeah. You know, occasionally we talked about that on Trailer Breakdown yesterday. I want to go back and watch the trailers for Inception.
Yeah.
To yep. see how that was marketed and why it did so well, because we're looking forward to seeing the new one coming up him this summer, Tenet from
yes.
Christopher Nolan. So, yeah, it's interesting you said that because I was thinking about that too. I was like, I should go back and watch the trailer, kind of figure out why it didn't grab me, and then mm-hmm. on your recommendation, I'll see it at some point and see what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good movie. Let's see. The new season of Magicians started this past week, and so I caught the first episode of that. Which is really, you know, setting the stage after a major thing that occurred in the last episode of the last season, as often happens. So they're kind of, you know, establishing now this new storyline and who's okay. doing what. And then rewatched Avengers Endgame. Did this yesterday. Had a kind of a slow morning yesterday, as opposed to my day today, which was quite the opposite. But had a slow morning yesterday. Watched Endgame again. I think this is the first time that I've watched it not on the big screen. And I'll tell you, that movie is still every bit everything that I love. I mean, the final, the third act of that movie is just still blows me away.
Mm-hmm.
There's still the moments in it where I get choked up. There's the comedy beats still hit me. The characterization still hit me. Just a great movie. I'm still thoroughly impressed by that movie.
Now, since you are the Marvel guy here, I'll ask you. Because I'm thinking at some point I want to get back and watch all the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you know, Star Wars stuff has done that for a bit. I have time. I want to, you know, once I get done with my TV stuff, I would do want to watch those all together and kind of see them in a shorter period of time. How much more I get out of that story? You know, that yep. that thread that worked all the way through to Endgame. Is everything available on Disney Plus right now?
No.
So
there are, I think, maybe three or four movies that are missing from Disney Plus. Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you exactly okay. which ones. But, you know, similar to Star Wars and some other stuff on Disney Plus, it comes down to distribution agreements.
Right. And I totally get that. At some point, they'll all be there probably. And, you know, so.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, cool. So I'll look for that and kind of see what's going on with that at some point. And because I do want to watch those all, I'm thinking within maybe a month or 2 month period, watch all the movies.
Yep.
And kind of see it as a cohesive story.
Yeah.
But see, what That's have I been idea. Watching? I've been doing, we talked before, I caught up on the Crisis on Infinite Earth stuff, and now I have started the Crisis on Infinite Earths. That's okay. a tongue twister. So that's going pretty well. liking that. I think I mentioned before we started watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, partway through season one. Good portion way through season one. I'm really liking it. The comedy is good. I had no idea she was I had no idea what anything was about. So she's a stand-up or becoming a stand-up reluctantly, I guess. She wasn't planning on okay. it, but she's becoming a stand-up comedian. And this is back in 50s, maybe. So it's a period piece, but yeah, it's a lot yeah. of fun. It's a good show. So if you haven't seen that, I would recommend that.
I haven't. No. Oh, okay.
Season two of Lost in Space, as I said, I'm watching that. I'm on the last episode now. I started that last night when I was in a workshop doing stuff. That series is really well done. Going a totally different direction. I should say totally different direction. It's still Lost in Space, but, you know, how they got Lost in Space is different than the original series from the 50s, 60s, whatever it was.
60s. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting used to the characters. Some people have said they don't like the new Mr. Smith and or Mrs. Smith or Miss Smith, whoever her name is now. And but I think I'm finding the characters, you know, they've in two seasons now, they kind of settled into who they are. I know I trust the actors more to do what I'm thinking they're going to do with that character. So, yeah, it's pretty good. Really enjoying Lost in Space. And that's probably about it for me. So let's see. Box office update. So these updates will be the estimates for the weekend, including Martin Luther King Day, right? These go through Monday.
Yes. Okay. Correct.
So Bad Boys for Life came out this weekend. It's projected to be $68.1 million. Not a bad haul for week one.
Mm-hmm.
Doolittle in its first week, a little bit less so. It's only $30 million. But also, you know, interesting that we've had, you know, three, if you include 1970, or three movies making, you know, 20 plus million, which is not the usual. Usually we have one movie taking everything and everybody else kind of picking up the scraps. So Doolittle at 30 in its first week, 1917 in its fourth week at $27 million for a total of 81. Jumanji the Next Level in its sixth week, bringing another $12 million in for 273 total. Rise of Skywalker still doing strong, made another $10 million for a total of 494 in its fifth week. And I think it just crossed the 1 billion mark worldwide too.
Yes, it did.
So that is pretty cool. This coming week, we have The Turning, The Gentleman, and The Last Measure. That might be a limited release this week. I'm not sure. But
yeah, and that's interesting. The Last Full Measure was supposed to be a wide release and on Box Office Mojo, it's listed next week to be a limited release, and I looked forward through the schedule, and I don't see it coming out in wide release. So it might just be staying limited release, which is kind of unfortunate, particularly given the cast. I mean, Sam Jackson is in it, and a handful of other notables. It's another war movie, I think more of a modern war movie. I'm a little bummed that it's not going to be going wide release. So I'm wondering what that's
really
about.
Goodness. This was Vietnam era.
Yes, I think so.
I think a medic that went back and saved, based on a true story, I guess, saved a lot of soldiers at risk to himself. So it was pretty interesting about it. And I think it's about, you know, half current time, half Vietnam era, where they're fighting now to get him recognized for what he did.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's where I understand it to be also.
Okay. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens. IMDb still lists it as January 24th, so it doesn't say anything about limited release. So.
Right.
Let's see here. Rest of January, we have Run, The Turning, Gretel and Hansel, and Rhythm Section.
I got to say, I'm very excited about Gretel and Hansel.
Really?
Yes, the stuff that I've seen on this, and you know, for folks who aren't familiar, they've basically taken this movie and turned it into a horror thriller movie. And I mean, it obviously lends itself very well to that, because you only have to twist a couple of dials to really make this thing go off the rails.
Right.
And I think it's going to be really darn good. This is something, it's not often that I will go to the theater to see a horror movie. And I just might do it for
really?
This one.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of thinking, you know, first of all, they screwed the name up. If you can't get the name in the right order, what do you do?
But I mean, they're trying to set themselves apart, Lou.
Yeah. Well, we had another Hansel and Gretel. Was it Demon Hunters or Witch Hunters, whoever it was? That flopped.
Yes. So, yeah. A few years ago.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'll be interested to hear what you think of that, because I'm probably not going to see that one. Did you update the movie draft for us?
I did. I updated the movie draft this morning. I was wrong. I had predicted that Andrea was going to stay in the lead for a few weeks, but Eric had Bad Boys. And Bad Boys, I think, exceeded expectations a bit. And so he barely snuck past Andrea. She still has some movies coming up early in the draft, so she may regain that lead. Mm-hmm. But Bad Boys, I think, is obviously going to continue a pretty high trend. So her movies are going to have to fight hard to overcome that. So it'll be interesting.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of an even matchup this time around. I can't wait to see how things turn out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too bad nobody had 1917. Because that would have done well. I mean,
that's we're going to mention that's gonna every
be, week. That's going to be a bid for the rest of this quarter.
how absolutely horrible is that if this movie gets, like, you know, the best film Oscar? Yeah. Oh, and we didn't even have it in the freaking draft.
Shame on us. Shame on us. But hey, what can you do? We all make mistakes.
That's the great stuff you can expect from Random Chatter, folks. You're welcome.
Let's see here. Fantasy Movie League. We're still doing that. If you guys are interested in doing that, go over to randomchatter.com/FML invite. I encourage you guys to go over there and play. It's a lot of fun. Despite missing the first week, I'm slowly climbing my way back up out of the gutter. Although I'm still 100 million behind first place. So I don't see me getting that close, but still a good thing to be in.
I'm actually opening up mine right now. I have not seen today's update.
I'm ahead of you, Tim, this week.
Yeah, I'm in seventh place this week. That's not good.
Yeah, I'm in fourth.
But no longer does anyone have the PC in our group.
No, but we're close. I mean, a couple of us are close to the PC. So I'm fourth. And the PC was 150. No.
155,
yeah.
And that's with two Bad Boys screens. German Boba and Brian both had the PC yesterday. But then with today's updates, they dropped off of that. They're just a touch behind it.
And so it's Rachel and I are just a touch behind them, so
I gotta say, you know, the first two or three seasons, I kind of dominated it. I spent a lot of time researching, and two, I think a lot of other people were still getting a feel for it. But now that other people have gotten a good feel for it, it's like way more competitive. And I'm no longer. It's a very rare occasion now that I end up in first place for a week, which I like. I appreciate the fact
that. Oh, it's definitely more. Yeah, there's more people getting in on it, and it's hard to see where you're going to be. But I think it's actually easier to do this stuff now, too, with the Cineplex builder they have.
Yeah.
It gives you that ability to do what ifs and say, what if this made more or less? You know, it's really easy to see what you want to pick instead of the old way of putting together a spreadsheet and trying to figure it out and you had something wrong in your number. You know, it was like, oh my God.
Well, and I got to say, I might actually go back to my spreadsheet because ever since I started using the Cineplex Builder, which is very, very convenient and fundamentally does exactly the same thing that my spreadsheet does, but easier, I've not been doing as well. Either that or other people are doing better because of it. So
I think we're all doing better. I think you kind of had the right thing going, but now we've all got the same easy tool to do what you did the hard way. We do it the easy way now.
True. So. Very true.
Not taking anything away from you, Tim. Just saying.
No, everyone has definitely gotten better. It is far more competitive than what it was, a year or 2 years ago when we were doing it.
Well, it's like this year in the NFL, everybody's got a chance to win Super Bowl now. It's not just Patriots.
Oh, Lou.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Lou, let's get to our news.
What do we have for news, Tim? Where are we going to start? At the top? Probably a wise
usually
choice.
Start at the top. Let's do that. Yeah.
Okay. So a while ago, Disney purchased Fox, right? The movie division.
They did.
Fox. It was it the movie what? Division or everything? What they?
This was mostly movie stuff. No, like Fox News, Fox Sports, those are still owned by the Fox company. But the movie houses and then things like FX were purchased by Disney.
Okay. So now they're going to rebrand that.
Massive, massive quantities of money, Lou. Well, more money than you and I combined will ever see in our lives.
They're making massive quantities of money, too. So. It's probably probably a good investment. So now they got to rebrand that. And I think they're kind of just going back to what the original branding was, right? I mean, it wasn't Fox. it used to be 20th Century. And that's what we always, you had the fanfare, that was it. And now they're coming back to that. So everything they purchased, they're going to have, or I shouldn't say the movie stuff they purchased is going to be under 20th Century Pictures.
Yep.
And Searchlight. But the 20th Century thing that's how it used to be when I was a kid, right? that's what we had. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's no longer 20th Century Fox. I think Disney's thing with this is one, obviously they want to reduce confusion and pull things under their umbrella. And you know, just the reality of what it is, regardless of where people may fall in the political spectrum, Fox News is a very, very different entity than Disney. So, you know, Disney is trying to distance itself from that. So they are dropping the Fox name from all their stuff. But they are still going to do the fanfare. They're still going to have the logo, but it's simply going to say 20th Century Pictures and say instead of 20th Century Fox. And
originally didn't it just say 20th Century and nothing after it?
It may have.
I'm trying to think back to.
Should probably see if I have an old VHS tape of Star Wars and see what that has on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But so cool. I think that's a good move for them, and also, you know, helping clear up the confusion in the marketplace of what they own, what they don't own.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Distance themselves from the Fox name, which is probably wise for Disney. So, Tim, you're a big James Bond fan. I mean, I'm a James Bond fan, but you're a big James Bond fan.
I do like the franchise. Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah. So we're coming to the end of an era, I guess, right? So we're having Daniel Craig do his last movie, No Time to Die, coming out this year, later on this year, springtime.
Yeah. 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 Pretty shortly. Real excited for it. The piece here is that Variety had gotten an interview, and I'll tell you, I encourage folks to look this up because it's a rare interview to get with Barbara Broccoli and her stepbrother, who own Eon Productions, and Eon Productions owns all the rights to James Bond.
Right.
So that started with their father, Cubby, and regardless of who ends up actually doing the production and the distribution, Eon owns everything to do with James Bond. They approve the scripts, they approve the actors, they approve everything that has to do with this stuff. And first of all, they interview very rarely. Second of all, this is a fairly long interview and there's a lot of stuff in here. excuse me. So I spent probably a good like 20 minutes digesting this interview.
Okay.
So there's a few notable things that came out of this. First of all, she said that they have no plans yet for who is going to be the next Bond.
There's been a lot of speculation about that, too.
There's been a lot of speculation about it. She acknowledged, obviously, they have talked about it. And in fact, they were talking about it back to earlier when Daniel Craig said, no, I'm not coming back after Spectre. And they did manage to convince him to come back. And then he's, you know, obviously done this movie. And now they're kind of just, I mean, they're acknowledging the fact that it's something they need to talk about. And they also said it may take them a while to actually make that determination, to actually figure that out. But one thing that she did say that I think is pretty pointed. She says that the next Bond can be of any color, any race, but insists that Bond will continue to be a man.
Really?
And yes. And one of the qualifiers that she put on this, she says women are far more interesting than simply taking a male character and making them female.
Okay.
The essence of and we've talked about this quite a bit on this show, you, me, Liz, and I think others, the essence of James Bond is that it's a male character. Along with all the flaws that go with this male character of being chauvinistic and that kind of stuff. And obviously they've tempered some of that through the eras of the movie, but you know, even the Daniel Craig version is still a considerable womanizer. So it is what it is. That is the character. So I appreciate that they have that recognition and they kind of want to stay with that tradition. She did say, though, that they have looked at exploring some different options for female characters within the franchise, and they've looked at building stronger female characters, better roles. They've obviously moved away from naming female characters from body parts and sexual acts. And yep. So, you know, obviously there has been some good progress there. And a lot of their characterizations for the women have been a lot better over the last, you know, 20 years or so. We've seen a considerable improvement that the women characters in the films have been better. They've been stronger. They've been more grounded. They've had their own. They've been their own character. Mm. She also said that at one point they actually did attempt to have a spin-off film focused on Jinx, who is played by Halle Berry in Die Another Day.
Okay.
And MGM, who is their production house for Bond, initially they were in, and they eventually chickened out and said, yeah, no, we don't know it's going to work. We don't want to invest in it. I'm sorry. It's Halle Berry with an incredible character, probably the best character from the Pierce Brosnan days of Bond, including Pierce Brosnan, which is no mystery. I did not like his Bond, but she was incredible. So yeah, they could have done some really cool stuff with that. But really great interview. Go to Variety and search for it. It's fairly new. It just went up in the last few days.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I mean, it's nice to hear. I'll have to check that out because you're right. She doesn't give very many interviews. And we're at that crossroads now of what are they going to do? Where are things going to go? I think that this last iteration of Bond was a really good change for the property in general. I mean, not just because, they've made changes to how they, present the Bond character, but I think the whole storyline was much more grounded in reality and much more plausible. Believable, we didn't have some of the outlandish stuff that we had in the past, which was good.
That is exactly what they talk about in this interview. Okay. I mean, all the stuff that you said, Lou, they kind of go through at least the major eras of the character, and they talk about what worked at one point eventually came to not work as well, and they talk about the Brosnan era, and they even say that hey. Even though they had one of at least to that date, they had the highest grossing film of the entire Bond franchise, which was Die Another Day. They also realized that they were kind of going off the rails with it because it was way too fantastical. Mm. And it just simply wasn't grounded. I mean, invisible cars and that kind of crap. It was they went off the rails with it.
Yeah, and some of the stories were even the stories themselves were kind of outlandish.
Yeah. And so they had to, they looked at things, and particularly post 9/11, they really had to change a lot, and they couldn't make it so much about, obviously no longer about the Cold War, but they also really had to get away from the communist nation stuff. And even though there's some of those that exist, but what's been transpiring in the world has oftentimes reflected on Bond, and they kind of hung on to the Cold War stuff a little bit too long for as fantastic as those stories were.
Yeah.
But they admitted they needed to reground the character and they needed to make it more serious. And they did. And that's what the Daniel Craig era was really all about.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a great job with it. I'm looking forward to No Time to Die, and then we'll get a little break and we'll see what they do next. Hopefully it'll be something as good. So let's see. Chris Hemsworth is becoming a human guinea pig. Tim, what are you doing here? What kind of notes are you dragging up here? This doesn't make any sense to me. He's a famous actor.
Yes. Well, he's going to turn into a mutant and he's going to star in the new X-Men movie as the human guinea pig.
Tim.
What?
That can't be right.
Yeah, it is.
That's your story and you're sticking with it?
No, not at all.
So he is looking at a documentary series for National Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's really doing, Tim. He's not putting tights on and pretending to be a superhero.
A superhero guinea pig.
A friend of mine is a guinea pig named Frank. Sorry, just throw that in. Seriously.
All right.
She feeds him a thing of lettuce and it takes and shoves the entire leaf of lettuce in his mouth. It's hysterical. Anyway, back to Chris Hemsworth. So what's he doing here? He's a health documentary series called Limitless, and they're looking at is he going to become? He really is a mutant, Tim. You're right.
I told you.
Wow.
I told you. And so, yes, it's called Limitless, not to be confused with the movie or TV show based on the original movie. This is a different thing. Yeah, yeah.
So he's volunteered himself as a human guinea pig and endured a series of mental and physical challenges across the globe for, all for sake of science. We're hoping to shed some light on new ideas and emerging science with focus on extending healthy lifespan. Interesting. He says, production starts soon. Wish me luck. Okay. Good luck to you. I hope they're paying you a lot. Because I don't think they pay those people a lot of money in like drug trials. I don't think they pay you a lot for that, Tim.
No, no. Well, you know, and this is a little more than a drug trial, I think. Considering that this is being done by Nat Geo, I am kind of expecting that this is going to be on Disney Plus. You know, you might see a premiere of this on the Nat Geo cable channel and then, you know, kind of closing out to say, hey, the rest of the series is going to be over on Disney Plus. You know, they may do that, but then again, they also still have to have content for their actual channel too. So
true.
Who knows?
So, Darren Aronofsky is doing this, right? So he's got some,
sure. I'll agree with you.
He's got some pretty good cred to his name. So that'll be interesting to see how he tackles this as a documentary. And speaking of documentaries, I watched a new one on Netflix recently called Game Changers, all about plant-based diets. We talked about that last week? No.
Mm-mm.
So,
no.
Pretty interesting documentary. I mean, to me, documentaries are good to watch, but the problem with them I have is they're only one-sided.
Yeah.
Very rarely do you see a balanced documentary, which I would love to see more people do. But they got their agenda, they have their point they want to get across, and you know, you get done watching, you're like, yeah, let's do that. And you're like, wait a minute. What about the other side of the argument? But anyways.
Is that why this whole time you've just been gnawing on a carrot? You mute your microphone, you take a few bites, you gnaw on a carrot.
It's not carrots. Are
you done with meat?
No, they're peanuts.
Oh, okay. Because next weekend when I come out, I'm salt and black pepper. That sounds good.
You're good.
Next weekend when I come out, I mean, I'm not really looking to go veg.
Don't worry, Tim. I'm going to have the egg fired up. We're going to do something on the egg.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I love you, Lou.
Tim, it's your birthday. We're going to do something on the egg.
I'm so excited. Oh, that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just ruined the surprise. Oh, well.
The details continue to unfold as you and my wife let things slip. It's great.
It'll be a good weekend ahead by all.
Nice.
Okay, let's see here. Now, Tim, I can't do this next story because you have to talk about this. I'm a 12-year-old boy, and I can't talk about this next topic.
All right, so Entertainment Weekly put out the list of everything that is coming to the Peacock, which is NBC Universal streaming service. So a lot of NBC shows, obviously, and Universal's movies. In terms of shows, real quick through the list here, The Office, Cheers, Frasier, Parks and Rec, 30 Rocks, SNL, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Downton Abbey, Everyone Loves Raymond, Friday Night Lights, House, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I didn't even know that was an NBC thing. The King of Queens, Law and Order, Married with Children, Monk, Psych, The Real Housewives, also didn't know that was NBC. Top Chef, Will and Grace.
So nothing new.
No, this is the legacy stuff that's going to be there. And then a little bit later on, they talk about some of the new stuff. In terms of movies, American Pie, Back to the Future, which is great. The Bourne franchise, which is also great. Breakfast Club, Brokeback Mountain, Bridesmaids, Despicable Me, Do the Right Thing, E.T., Fast and Furious, the whole franchise. Field of Dreams, Jaws, The Dress. They just state Jaws. I don't know if this is all Jaws movies. Same thing with Jurassic Park. I assume that includes all the movies. Mamma Mia, and then also Shrek, which, again, I assume is all the movies.
Okay.
So they are – and then, of course, they have their slate of new shows that they're bringing out. They have a variety of comedy shows. Some of these we've talked about in the past. They're doing a Kevin Hart thing. They're doing something with David Schwimmer. Let's see, the Punky Brewster sequel series.
What?
Oh, yeah. The Saved by the Bell reboot that we talked about last week. They're doing some dramas.
Psych 2? No.
Yeah. Battlestar Galactica. is going to be rebooted in this.
Okay.
Let's see, Dr. Death. There's going to be a bunch of kids stuff, including Curious George, Where's Waldo. So, wait, yeah, there's
kids stuff on the Peacock streaming service. I'm sorry, I couldn't laugh it. I was waiting.
Lou.
I just can't believe nobody sort of had to think about that when they're naming this thing. I just can't. Oh, God.
Yep. They clearly didn't. Oh, gosh. What's that called? Like market test it.
Yeah. And like I always say, when you have something that's really outlandish or something that's really bizarre, I'm like, okay, somebody had to go, what if we do this? And somebody else had to go, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We used to say it all the time when I was going to school in Florida and used to see the 747 shuttle carrier aircraft with the shuttle on its back. And we're like, some engineer came up with that idea and somebody else had to go, yeah, that'll work. I think they were probably drinking one Friday night and went, what if they put the shuttle in the back of a 740? Yeah. Okay, anyways.
And that's the weirdest thing ever. It's just so odd.
Well, I mean, it looks like they got a lot of good stuff in progress. I mean, you know, a lot of legacy content, which everybody wants to see or at least have access to. But I mean, it's you know. It was the other night on Fallon. He's like, yeah, so you talk about the Peacock streaming service again. He was saying, yeah, so another service. And pretty much after you get all these things done, you add them up and it costs what cable costs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, pretty much. That's what it's going to be. You're just going to get it over the internet instead of through a cable line community house.
True.
So, Tim, you watch The Simpsons, right? Or at least used to.
I used to. I'm more of a Family Guy person now. But yeah, I respect The Simpsons. I acknowledge that Family Guy really came from The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And they're pretty closely related, obviously. And both good shows. I do watch both. I used to watch Simpsons a lot more than I do now. But so they're making some changes because they want to be more politically correct. So Hank Azaria, funny guy. He does the voice of Apu on The Simpsons. And Tim, what's Apu's last name?
It's in the article somewhere.
Sorry. Yeah, his name's like 18 characters long with like, I think, a silent three in the middle of it. It's really, long.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is no longer going to be doing that voice for The Simpsons.
So this is apparently his choice to part from them. He's been doing it for 29 years. And says, you know, he's loved the character and the show and everything about it. But, you know, particularly for the last couple of years, folks may be aware that there has been some controversy over Apu and the characterization, the stereotype and that kind of thing. So,
yeah. I mean, hey, if Hank doesn't want to do it anymore because of those reasons, I think that's fine. You know, he needs to make the decision for himself. We all have our thoughts on what constitutes making fun of somebody or making fun of a race. I think this is not really that, but if that's what Hank feels, I support him in wholeheartedly in what he wants to do. But if we took everything that was offensive out of The Simpsons or Family Guy, we wouldn't be making those shows at all. I mean, there's a big difference between poking fun at something and bringing it to light in society and really being belligerent about, you know, a stereotype or racism.
Yeah.
I don't think the two are the same.
And, you know, I mean, obviously Lou and I qualify this with the fact that we're two white guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they do portrayals like this, we obviously don't take personal offense to it. We understand that some people do, and we're not meaning to minimize that. Regardless of what the intent might be on these shows, it may be altruistic. It may be, obviously they are satire, and satire does use stereotypes. I mean, that is a driving force behind satire. So again, shows like The Simpsons and Family Guy and South Park, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what they thrive off of, to make their social commentary and political commentary and that kind of stuff. And there's definitely a place for that. you know, obviously their intent is not to offend anyone, and we don't want anyone to be offended.
Right.
But they're, you know, it's one of those awkward things in society that I think needs to somewhere come into balance, that there needs to be a recognition that so much of satire is based on stereotype, because that's exactly the point they're trying to make with this stuff. And people needing to recognize satire for what it is. So it's a very interesting thing. And it, you know, not everyone gets comedy. You know, that's a fundamental thing. Not everyone gets certain brands of comedy.
Comedy is very personal, and there are some people that like certain kinds of comedy and some people don't like others. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I don't particularly care for slapstick stuff.
Right.
But same, you know, some people love it and some people don't get British humor. Some people do. I get some of it, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, so this is just a case of, I mean, the actor is fully aware of what he wants to do, and this is his decision. So.
Yeah. And the Simpsons themselves are aware of this. And the article here from Entertainment Weekly says that, let's see, the Simpsons finally attempted to address the issue on screen, but wound up creating more backlash on social media. Of course, if we listen to social media for anything,
that's part of the problem.
That's the real eye rolly part of this. A scene in which Marge was reading an edited for 2018 standards version of The Princess in the Garden to Lisa ended with Lisa turning to the camera, breaking the fourth wall, saying something that started decades ago and was applauded and inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do? She looked at a nearby picture of a poo that featured Bart's catchphrase, "Don't have a cow." And Marge then added, "Some things will be dealt with at a later date." And then Lisa says, "If at all." Interesting. So, you know, I mean, obviously that's the writer saying, yeah, you know what? We acknowledge that some people are taking offense to this. We may or may not change what it is that we're doing. And again, fundamentally, because this is satire.
Yeah. And I think that, like you said earlier, none of this is meant to be offensive.
No.
You know, and there are stand-up comedians that are thriving on this point where, you know, where it's satire and you're poking fun at something, but you're not being racist about it. And it's a fine line to cross. And I think, I mean, stand-up comedians that live in that space are just really, you know, walking a fine line these days, and it's tough for them, I can imagine. So,
and also, I mean, there's something, I mean, going back to James Bond, we talk about his womanizing. Is that politically correct? No, it's absolutely not. But that is fundamentally part of what the character is.
Right.
There are Bond women in every movie. And the interesting thing is that though, when you really look at the Bond movies, he's manipulating men as much as he's manipulating women. And some of the women that he sleeps with, that's purely a manipulation to ultimately get the information that he wants or whatever. He knows that they're spies and on an opposite side from what he is and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yes, there is also the chauvinistic male conquering female kind of thing. And that has become its own stereotype, and it's not meant to offend anyone. That's simply a statement of who and what the character is. And for as deep as the character of Bond is, there are shallow aspects to him, quite honestly, just like any of us.
Yeah.
You know, that simply is. And not to say that those character aspects are entirely acceptable, but we can't simply turn a blind eye to it and say, oh, no, that stuff doesn't exist.
Right. Well, speaking of something shallow, Netflix pockets, very, very, very shallow pockets. They are going to be spending $17 billion, that's with the B folks, on content in 2020. $17 billion, that's just such an absurdly large number. And it's not much more than last year. So last year they spent $15.3 billion. Mm-hmm. So it's not huge, but I mean, that is an increase, of course. But I didn't do any research before this. I'd love to know how that compares to other streaming services. What's Apple paying for their stuff going forward? What's Amazon Prime forking out for new content and existing content? I'd love to know how that ranks. Did it cover it in this article, Tim, at all? Or
I don't think they do, but I mean, to that point, Lou, and it certainly would be interesting to see that, but I think also you're looking at Netflix being the largest amongst all the streaming services.
True.
Hands down. So proportionally, they are going to spend more. And they're also recognizing the competition that's out there. You know, Disney Plus flipped their switch on last year. And as you mentioned, some of the other competitors with Amazon and with Hulu and others. So Netflix needs to stay really, really relevant. And they've had some solid hits with a lot of the stuff that they're producing on their own, the Netflix originals.
Yep.
You know, we talked about some of them last week that I've been watching with Dracula and
right
and Messiah. You mentioned Lost in Space, which is that's another Netflix original production. Mm. There's a lot of stuff out there that's very much mainstream.
And they picked up a lot of movies. Right. But they picked up a lot of movies, too, that were, you know, scheduled to be a box office release that didn't make it for one reason or another. I've seen a couple of them here and there, and some are pretty good, you know, nothing bad. But yeah, it's just an amazing amount they're spending. And, you know, Amazon and Disney Plus and, you know, Peacock and Hulu and all these other ones are spending more than they have, and they're growing too. I mean, these guys are coming out with their own, you know, stuff. I mean, Amazon Prime, we talked about The Expanse a while ago. They're doing their own stuff now. They've saved a franchise that was going to be going away. They had Netflix? The 6 Underground. That was Netflix, wasn't it?
Yes.
There was something else I was watching on Amazon recently that I didn't know was a Amazon original too. But, you know, so they're all doing this. But yeah, Amazon's probably the largest. The article does mention that by 2028, they're expected to be spending $26 billion a year on services, which, you know, everybody seems to get for free somehow. So I don't know how they're making their money, because, I mean, I know I've got my Netflix as part of my Comcast account. I closed my account that was charging me X number of dollars per month, and now I have this. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. I mean, obviously it's being paid for by somebody, but.
Wow. Well, and there's also kind of that question of what are the cable and satellite companies doing? How are they competing with this stuff? You know, they rely on other people's content. So the cable and satellite folks aren't developing their own content. They're relying on the networks that they carry.
Right.
To do stuff. And I think there's certainly still a place for kind of that live TV aspect, whether it's the news or whatever else. But so many people, I mean, you know, you look at Liz. Liz only does streaming services. She doesn't have anything.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
You know, you have cable. I have Dish, and I gotta say that, you know, the pendulum is starting to swing a little bit more.
Oh yeah. I mean, the only thing
in terms of, gee, is it really worthwhile to be paying for Dish?
The only thing keeping me tied to cable, I think, in this point is that it's still so fractured, and trying to figure out what you need to spend for all these different services to have all the content you want is just really confusing these days. And I'm doing that and paying, you know, cable, right, which is kind of nuts, but it seems like we've been talking about cutting the cord for 10 years now, and people have, and Lizzie's one of them, but you know, it's tough when you think about, well, I still want to get my local news, and I still want to do this, and whether or not I ever cut the cord, I mean, I'm assuming at some point I will, but I gotta make it easy for me and then for anybody else in the household to be able to watch whatever they want to watch. I mean, I can figure out how to, you know, stream from my phone to my Apple TV to this and downstairs and, you know, but my wife can't. So, and I don't expect her to. Yeah. It's just not what she's into. So.
And some people just simply want the convenience of sitting down, grabbing one remote.
Right.
Turning that on and having the, you know, people have now become very accustomed to the menu that all the, you know, cable and Dish services have. that you go to and you can scroll through and see what's there versus, oh, well, let me check Disney Plus and then, oh, let me check Hulu and then let me check Amazon and then this other service. And, you know, so you're switching back and forth between apps. And eventually, as time goes on, people are going to get more and more used to that. But it is not the norm yet.
You know, I mean, you and I both go back to the time when you used to channel surf by scrolling through channels and
totally. Oh yeah.
Channel up, channel up, channel up.
There was no guide.
Right. And now it's the guide. You kind of scroll through the guide. Mm-hmm. It's still, not my go-to to like pull up Netflix or Amazon or whatever and say, let me search for this. Mm-hmm. Cause that's pressure on what I want to watch. I want to just, I can't search. Okay. I'll just watch what's on TV, you know?
Yep.
So that's still a barrier to me, I should say. But, I have seen recently on Google now, you type in a movie and it will tell you where to watch.
Yes.
Which services have it, which ones are paying for it, renting it. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Although everything I search for, I got to pay for. I'm like, really? Nobody has this for free on one of the services I pay for? I'm like, God darn it.
Yeah. It's one of those things typically like, oh yeah, you can get it from Hulu or Amazon.
Yeah.
But it's not included with your subscription, so you're going to pay more for it. But yeah, you make a good point, Lou, that another thing with that guide is just, yeah, you don't know what you want to watch, so you just flip through the guide. Oh, yeah, that's a good movie. I haven't seen that in a while. Or, yeah, that's a good show. Exactly. I know it's a rerun, but
I came across the Italian Job the other day. I was like going through the scroll. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like that movie. I'll put it on.
It was probably the exact same night that I was watching it too, Lou.
Actually, I've done it twice, two different weeks that came in at the same point in the movie both times. I'm like, God darn it. I already saw this part last week. But anyways. Says, Tim, this next one's going to be really excited. I loved Ex Machina, and I'm so glad they're making a reboot or a sequel. I don't know why you didn't put this in the next section for reboot, sequels, and remakes, though, Tim. This doesn't make sense to me. Why'd you throw it here?
Because it's not a reboot, remake, or sequel.
But it's
at all.
It's Oscar Isaac, and he was in the first one.
Yep, and he's going to be in something else, which is inspired by a comic called Ex Machina.
Oh.
But Tim, it's not the Ex Machina story that he was in before.
Tim, you let me down. No, actually, I'm to the kind of tongue in cheek because I don't want to have a remake or a reboot of that or a sequel. Because the first one was great. Fantastic. We don't need another story of that. But yeah, so Oscar Isaac, who had been in Ex Machina with Tom Hall Gleason and what's her name? Alicia Vikander, was that her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
New story now. They're going to call it The Great Machine because Ex Machina was already taken with the same actor. So to prevent the confusion that Tim had reading the article and I had reading Tim's notes, I'm like, it's not. Oh, okay. So this is based on DC Comics, The Wildstorm. Is that what this is, Tim? Son of the Michael Hunter, a former superhero, became mayor of New York City after 9/11, had power to talk to mechanical devices. Interesting.
Yeah, so The Wildstorm is one of those smaller comics houses, which DC does the distribution on.
Oh, okay.
So the title of the comic is actually Ex Machina, which is done by Brian K. Vaughan. And so the series itself centered on a character named Mitchell Hundred, who is a former superhero, maybe retired. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the comic, who becomes mayor of New York City after 9/11. He has a power of being able to talk to mechanical devices. Though the series is actually more focused on government and political leadership, that's the comic series. I don't know what spin they're going to be putting on the movie here. Oscar Isaac he's producing it, and he's also been cast in the role of Mitchell Hundred. And as you said, because there was already a film called Ex Machina, which also had Oscar Isaac in it, they're calling it The Great Machine, which does make sense,
right?
Story wise, because Hundred's superhero name was The Great Machine.
Okay, well, cool. That'd be interesting. Looking forward to that. Then, I mean, Oscar Isaac does some good stuff, and I'm like to see him get some better roles. So.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So now we can go on to our reboots, remakes, and sequels. So Bad Boys for Life is coming out. It came out last weekend we're getting Bad Boys 4 is now confirmed with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. I thought Bad Boys for Life was going to be kind of the let's come back, do it again, and be done. But I guess the temptation of more money is just too strong, I suppose.
I could have sworn, like, this actually took me by surprise, because I could have sworn that they said, at least, like, Sony had apparently said that they were done, or that Martin Lawrence said that this was going to be his last one or something. Like, I could have sworn that somebody somewhere said
the same way.
After this movie, we're done. And obviously there's been such a gap between Bad Boys 2 and Bad Boys for Life that, And also, there was another podcast, actually the FML podcast brought this up, that they were aggravated with the fact that Bad Boys for Life has the word four in it, yet it's the third movie. You know, you kind of expect Bad Boys number four life out of this, but it's the third movie and there's still going to be a Bad Boys 4. So, odd.
Bad Boys 4 will be Bad Boys 4 More Money. So,
Bad Boys, the quest for more money.
Well, okay. I mean, I guess they got to do what they got to do. I mean, sequels that make money, they're going to continue to milk that until it's dead. So,
yeah.
Speaking of milking things that are dead, Mission Impossible 7 began filming in Rome this March. Simon Pegg is also coming back in that movie. So, I mean, those movies do well year in, year out. I don't think they're juggernauts, but they're still making money, so they'll keep making them.
I love Simon Pegg's character.
Yeah,
in the franchise, the last couple of movies, his character. I mean, he's just kind of like the unwilling sidekick, and his quirkiness is just fantastic in the films. I love it.
Next up, speaking of coming back for more money, National Treasure 3, evidently. I didn't realize there was a 2.
Yes.
So.
Yes, there was. I like the first movie.
I saw the first one
was actually pretty good.
It was okay, but it was Nicolas Cage, and he's either hit or miss for me. He's really good in some things and just really kind of okay.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of the second movie, which I certainly never – I don't know that I even saw the first one in the theater. I know I didn't see the second one in the theater.
No, I saw it at home.
Yeah.
It was okay, but it seemed like we've done this before. We have a series called, you know, Indiana Jones. You don't need this guy. He doesn't, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And clearly that's what they're doing with it. And they're trying to make it more modern because it is set in present day and all that. And yes, they're going to do a third one because I guess Disney needs to pay some bills or something.
That may be. It's been a while. So the first one was 2004. The second one was 2007. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, so the second one did 219 domestic, 237 international. What'd the first one do? 173, 174 domestic, international. So, yeah, I mean, they did okay, and I'm sure they'll do okay with the third one, but.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Although I don't think it says if. What's his name is going to be in it? If
Nicolas Cage?
Cage is going to be in it or not.
Why would they do it without? I mean, because you could do it with anybody, but I'm thinking to myself, he is the guy for that movie, right? That's what they had. So why would you change that? But
yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, that is coming along in development. Watchmen, the HBO series, will not be coming back for season 2. I hadn't heard anything about this, Tim. Is this just low ratings or would they cite in this one?
I did not, I didn't even have an article for this, but it's been kicking around the last couple of days. I'm sure I could very easily Google something and find it. But yeah, it was officially announced that Watchmen will not return for season 2, which is a bummer. I know it's a bummer to a lot of people.
I mean,
I don't have HBO, so I've not watched it, but I know
first Eric episode loved it. And it was good. I haven't continued, but I want to just because, you know, lack of time. But yeah, it's too bad. I mean, HBO's got such a high production value. This seemed really well done. I thought they were going to kind of go with it, but
my guess is that it just might be too niche.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they made Game of Thrones. That was pretty niche when they started it. So I don't know. But we'll dig in a little more and see if we can come up with something else for you about this one next week. And finally, we have the cast been set aside now for the Lord of the Rings series on Amazon.
And I, to be completely honest, don't recognize any of the names that are on
I was going to say, I looked through this earlier and nobody's really jumping out at me going, oh yeah, that person. Oh yeah, that person too. I can't wait.
Clearly Amazon's money is going into production and not cast.
And I like that. I mean, I don't want to see recognizable people somewhere coming up and going, oh yeah, that person from this one and that person from here. I think this could be a good move. I mean, and it's giving actors that may not have a huge, resume behind them to get out to something that could be really, well received and get their name out there, which I think is great too.
Yeah.
So,
And these are people who have been in things, Game of Thrones, Ray Donovan, The Proposition, Hotel Mumbai. So, things that have been
clearly
very
established actors, but
yes. Yeah. And I didn't go through the filmographies of all of them, but it just seems, a lot of actors, a lot of talent here who they're just not really big notable names. And hopefully they will make names for themselves.
Exactly.
In this.
Yeah. I mean, Game of Thrones made some stars out of people, people that had been actors and had been around for here and there, but nothing really. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's who that person is. Now they're household names.
So. Exactly.
Well, let's finish up this episode, Tim, with some nominations from Academy Award stuff. We'll take turns going through these and kind of just blow them out.
Sure.
So best picture nominations, we have Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Parasite.
Leading actor nominations for the Academy, Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver for Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, and Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes.
Leading actress nominations, we have Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story. Oh, I hate pronouncing her name. Saoirse Ronan, I think is how you pronounce
her. I believe so. Yeah.
They had a whole skit on her on Saturday Night Live one night doing that, where she was the host. And they had a song about what her name is and isn't. I still can't pronounce it, but it was for Little Women. Charlize Theron for Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for Judy.
So over on the SAGs, so SAG Screen Actors Guild, so they don't necessarily celebrate movies. Their stuff is about the talent, particularly the actors. But you're still going to see a lot of common themes here. For leading actor, they have up Christian Bale for Ford versus Ferrari, Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver for Marriage Story, Taron Egerton for Rocket Man, and Joaquin Phoenix for Joker.
Okay, and the leading actress side, we have, again, Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story, Lupita Nyong'o for Us, Charlize Theron for Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for Judy.
And then ensemble cast, which is fundamentally for the SAGs, that's their Best Picture award, again, with the focus being on the cast. They have listed Bombshell, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite.
Okay.
So some of the big things here with the, since it is award season, we figured we'd do a quick mention of what's out there.
And I am ashamed to say I've seen very few of these.
Same.
Which doesn't surprise me because every year I go through the same thing, but I've usually seen a couple of the Best Picture nods and so forth. Mm-hmm. But and there's a bunch of them that are like, I've never heard of that. Why is that all of a sudden being talked about for Best Picture? But, I mean, of these, there's a few I want to see. I mean, I do want to see Joker at some point. Ford versus Ferrari, I really want to see because I love that story. I want to dig into that a little bit. But yeah, we'll see. And everybody tells me I should see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I still have not seen yet, but I've been told I should. So
yeah, same here. I think I mentioned we have it on Blu-ray, but just have yet to watch it.
Very nice. So, Tim, before we close out, one other thing I wanted to tell you, talking back and forth with your wife on what we're going to do when you're down here, I said, we can just hang out at home and watch a movie. I mean, we could watch Knives Out again. And she threatened me.
I think that'd be fantastic.
I did too. Yeah, she was not a fan. So if you're listening to our movie chatter podcast, listen to our most recent episode of that. You can hear us discuss that. And she was not enamored with Knives Out. But anyways, that brings us to the end of the episode. Tim, thank you for your time tonight. We miss Lizzie. She'll be back hopefully next week. And we'll have the three of us writing again for episode number 250.
Wow. Volume 3.
So send us your feedback. The music you hear in the podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. And we'll be back at you next week. So take care.